Give Us This Day Evening Edition is a devotional reflection upon the New Testament lesson from the Order for Evening Prayer from the Book of Common Prayer 1928. These reflections are written and presented by Father Charles Erlinson, who serves at the Church of the Good Shepherd Reformed Episcopal Church in Tyler, Texas.
Today is Tuesday of the first Sunday after Trinity. The lesson is taken from Acts chapter 9, verses 20 through 31.
And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying a wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him, and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how that he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea, and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied.
In Acts 9, Jesus Christ has raised up another man to minister in his name, Paul. We have a tendency to make heroes out of individuals and to treat them as individuals apart from the community that gives them life. Since the age of print, and the consequent desire to display oneself as the one who created a particular object of art or literature, we've had an impulse towards individualism. It's the romantic idea that I, by myself, am original, and I have created something truly unique and individual. Therefore, I am worthy of immortal glory, or at least to a coterie of groupies. In contrast, original before the advent of print meant ancient or traditional. Being original meant going back to the sources or origin, which was not the self. And so even in our Christian lives, we have a tendency to read and write our narratives as individuals. We approach our lives and God as individuals, and interpret them in terms of myself as the reference point. To some degree, this is inescapable. But it is a mistake to neglect how the grace of God is poured out in our lives through His Church. Some of you may have remembered that St. Augustine's Confessions were written long before the age of print, and be thinking to yourself that it is unmistakably an individual writing about himself. True. But even the Confessions are unthinkable without his praying and long-suffering mother, Monica, or his mentor and bishop, St. Ambrose, and a host of other supporting characters. As great as the life and ministry of St. Paul were, they too did not exist in isolation. Saul became Paul, largely because of how Jesus Christ worked in his life through the Church. Just as with the other apostles, but not necessarily those designated disciples, Paul had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. As Jesus had said, Follow me to the earlier apostles, Jesus says, Follow me to Paul. Only he doesn't say it as nicely, perhaps. In fact, Paul's first experience with Jesus Christ was to have a light shine on him from heaven, something like a celestial spotlight, I take it, and he fell to the ground. Jesus' first words to Paul were not, Follow me, or your sins are forgiven, but, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why does Jesus come after Saul? His first words to Saul are, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Not, why are you persecuting my church, or why are you persecuting my people, but why are you persecuting me? To Jesus Christ, an attack on his body, the church, is an attack on him. And so Paul's relationship with Jesus Christ actually began earlier. It began with Saul persecuting Jesus Christ by persecuting his body. But even after Jesus Christ's initial epiphany to Saul is over, he continues to work in the life of Saul, and he does it through his body. Even before Saul was Paul, he was raised to know the Jewish scriptures. How did he attain such great learning? God had ordained that he would be taught by others and raised to know the scriptures from his youth. It's important to realize this because Paul was not a Christian who was converted from paganism and had no idea of who the true God was. The very next thing that happened to Saul after he had encountered Jesus Christ personally, is that Jesus entrusted him to one of his disciples, Ananias. In this case, Jesus also appeared to Ananias in a vision, saying simply, "Ananias." And Ananias responds the way that God's faithful people from Abraham to Isaiah have always responded, "Here I am, Lord." Like others before him, this Ananias was hesitant to obey because there were, well, extenuating circumstances. But Jesus encourages him and explains his purpose in the life of Saul, and Ananias obeys, even though it is potentially a very dangerous mission. It is through Ananias' ministry that Paul receives his sight back, is physically strengthened, and is baptized. Did Saul accomplish any of this on his own? Did he even ask for it? Never forget the beginning of Paul's life in Christ. It's a picture of God's sovereignty in our lives as well. When Saul is about to be killed by the Jews who had plotted against him, Jesus rescues him again. But he does it through his disciples, who let him down through the wall in a large basket. In Jerusalem, Saul tried to join the disciples, that is, the church. They were rightly afraid of him, and did not believe that he was a disciple. So Jesus Christ sticks up for him and declares that what he had done to and for Saul on the road to Damascus. But he does it through the life and words of Barnabas, his disciple. When Saul again was about to be killed by the Hellenists, it was again Jesus Christ who delivered him, this time by the brethren, the church, who brought him to Caesarea and sent him back to Tarsus. Outside of Acts 9, we discover that even though Paul was a missionary pioneer on the front lines of bringing the gospel to many new lands, even though he had unique revelations from God, that he was constantly supported by the church. He had with him many co-laborers, Barnabas, Silas, Titus, Timothy, Luke, Epaphroditus, etc. He had the support of the Jerusalem and Antiochian churches, as well as many others. If Paul, perhaps the most individual Christian hero we have, was surrounded by such a great cloud of co-laborers, we should consider the social aspect of our own lives in Christ. Think about your own life. From whom did you first hear the gospel? Who first introduced you to Jesus Christ? I'm willing to bet that it wasn't an out-of-the-blue vision in which Jesus Christ blinded you and knocked you down. Someone who was a part of the body of Christ, introduced you to Jesus. Someone catechized you. Someone taught you how to study the Bible. Someone preached to you the Word of God. Someone challenged you to walk more faithfully with your Lord. Some planted and some watered, but it was Jesus Christ acting through his body and his spirit that formed you in him. There have been some interesting studies done on how people convert to a particular religion. But at the heart of the conversion process, which even for Paul was a process and not an instantaneous thing, is a relationship with Jesus Christ through a relationship with his church. When therefore we consider the conversion of St. Paul, don't look to compare your experience with his in every detail. It suffices to know that it is the same Lord Jesus Christ who has called you both. And in both cases he brought you to himself, bringing you into his body. As blessed as this is, and as much of a reason for praise and thanksgiving as it is, there is another blessing just as great. That now you and I have been commissioned to take part in helping to bring others to Jesus Christ, since we are a part of his body. Consider the conversion of St. Paul a big screen moving picture of your own conversion. And remember, the Almighty Lord who knocked the great Paul off his feet has also knocked you off your feet, so that he might be the one who makes you stand for him.
Give Us This Day Evening Edition is a presentation of Always with Christ Radio in the Anglican Way.